You're listening to Focus on Friday with myself, Robbie Frawley, and my guest this week is Noel Kenny, pastor of Liberty Church in Dublin. We've been talking about life in the Liberties as a kid, and now we've gone into teenage years, and just a moment ago you heard that you became parents at 16. That must have been a massive shock to everybody, but also a shock to how you lived your life.
Yes. Yeah, so we were 16, and we had even when she was pregnant, like, I kid you not, this is no jokes, no one. As I was saying, I was still playing Cowboys and Indians, do you know what I mean? And now, like, I'm going to be a father.
Yeah.
And I didn't know she was pregnant.
Yeah.
I didn't, like, yeah. And our belly was getting bigger.
Yeah.
And I says to her, Sherry, you need to go over to the doctor, there's something wrong with you. So she went over to the doctor, she said she went over to the doctor, but didn't.
Yeah.
And she came back and says, what did he say? And he said it's wind. Right?
No way.
So I'm thinking as a young fella, yeah, well, I don't want to be around when that comes out. Type of thing, you know? I'm just being a boy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then sure enough, like a neighbour called her up. Because Sharon's mum and dad weren't together.
Right.
So a lady neighbour that looked out for her family called her up, and she was able to tell her.
Yeah.
Then she's told Sharon's dad. And then it was to tell my mum and dad, which was like, you know, it just all them. It was in.
We're going back to the early 80s here.
Yeah, yeah, 84.
Yeah.
It was so embarrassing.
Yeah.
It was so like, because it's like people knew what you were doing. And,
yeah, yeah.
And back then, you know, I mean, you were still conscious of, you know, wrong and sin.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
And so, you like, even though my family weren't religious in any respect of the word, but it was just like, I was walking in an ankle course, and I just had this. I didn't want to go in or anything. It was like we'd done something awfully, awfully wrong. And so then telling my parents, like telling my ma, was just, I told my sister to tell my ma, and she did. And because I was the apple of our eye, you know
right,
what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
And well, we all were, but like they all said I was our favourite. But so anyway, that was then on the 26th of June, Patrice was born. And this is how naive and young we were, right? So Sharon's waters broke, and we went around to my mum's, and so we says, my sister answered the door and says, Sharon says, my waters after breaking. So there was a long hallway in there, flat, like, and you had three bedrooms, my mum and dad's, my sister's, and then the last bedroom on the way out the hall door was ours, the
yeah.
boys. So I'm walking out, so is Sharon,
yeah.
who's going in to have a baby,
yeah.
my sister, my mum, and me. And my mum turns around and says, you're going into bed, son. So I did. I went into bed and slept like a log. Poor Sharon's brought over to the hospital at 16
no
years of age. You know, like, and when we look back on it,
it was a different time, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, what were we even thinking? You yeah. know, I know I wouldn't have the confidence even. I only seen what happens on TV.
But nobody told you.
No, on TV, you know, I mean, they go into a room, next minute you come out with the baby. I don't
yeah, yeah.
know, just screaming and just yeah. pain. And
yeah, yeah.
I honestly didn't know. And then the next morning, about 20 past 8, Sharon's sister came around, my dad opened the door, and says, tell Noel he's the dad to a little girl. And now he's in love with two girls.
Wow.
Yeah, it just totally, radically changed who I was and what life was about now, because I knew, I don't know, I just had a sense of responsibility to do right.
You're getting emotional about this,
yeah,
even thinking
yeah.
of it.
Yeah, you know, Patrice is now 38.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. And and so she was in her dad's and mum's flat, and I was still going up to bed, I was still called up at 9 o'clock.
Right.
Like, I'm a dad, I'm 16,
yeah,
my,
yeah.
My mum just had that, like, because she was like, if I make sure my boys are up, they won't get into trouble. And especially me and my younger brother, because the other two boys had gone on drugs at that stage.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
okay.
So it was like, she was just so protective in that. I'm like, Mom, I'm feeding the baby.
I'm not coming home, I'm feeding the baby.
And then when Patrice was, when we were 18, we got a flat and moved in together.
Okay.
And then in some ways, pressure kicked in. In my own life, I don't know where I was at or what I was doing, but I know at that time the young men and women that had gone on drugs at 14 and 15 were now dying of HIV/AIDS.
Right.
So, like, you know, people that I went to school with and grew up with, now we were going to a funeral every week of someone.
And that would have been from needle sharing, presumably.
Yeah, 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 mostly from needle sharing because of drug addiction. And I also then knew if all my brother's friends who they shared needles with had it, that means they most likely had it.
Wow.
So So going to a funeral every week of a funeral, a community of that I described, you know, those who were singing on the bus.
Yeah.
You know, those who were trying to take the Romanian man's money from singing, like now you're going to that funeral and looking at their ma's and da's, or looking now at even some of their young children and going, they don't know where mammy and daddy is, they don't know how this happened, they don't know. And I guess the pressure of that, and even sometimes the community shame, like when I look back, like, you know, now that little place, like you couldn't get a job if you had your name from Dalton's Barn. You had to give somebody else's address,
yeah.
You know, so you have like a family shame because of drug addiction.
Yeah.
You have self shame because of your own sin or your own brokenness, and then you have community shame. And somehow the weight of all of that, and I just decided I don't want to be sort of functional. I wouldn't have used the words back then. I just wanted to get out of there. So I started smoking drugs. I started smoking dope just to escape. That's where it was.
There's a great line in the song from U2, Running to Stand Still. Wow. I see seven towers. He was talking about Ballymun because he was from that area. But I only see one way out. It was an incredible line. Wow. The whole song is about drug addiction.
Yeah.
It's just an incredible thing. Was pot, and was that your only way out of getting involved with the heroin, or what? How did you stay?
No, it was just the progression. It was just so like I'd loads of opportunities. I've a lot, like I'd brothers that were heroin addicts. Three of them are dead as a result of heroin addiction. You know, there were only a couple of years in between us all. So
yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm sitting in the room. My brothers are injecting. No, do you want to try?
Yeah.
And somehow, when I was younger, no, like getting out of that block saved me. Sharon saved me in that
incredible
sense. And then friends that I grew up with, friends now that weren't my brothers, my peers.
Yeah.
You know, boys that I looked up to, being with them, and they're injecting it, and like, Noel, do you want it? No, I'd probably be drinking an agony of vodka or something, but
they never pressurised you to take it.
No.
That's
just
quite incredible.
Just if you want, because maybe it costs the money. But
maybe.
It was all around. And then, like, you know, people always say, like, you know, I found sort of, in a weird way, I found salvation when I found heroin, because all my pain was gone. All my shame was gone. It caused me to forget, and it's nearly. And but prior to that, they were smoking pot, or prior to that, they were sniffing glue. So it was like, oh, I found it in glue. Oh, no, now I found it in this, and now I found it in. So, you know, it would have been, it was only a matter of time before pot didn't do anything for me. Do you know what I mean? That was,
and you had to look for something else, of course.
Yeah, I just said, like for 4 years till I was 22, I just every I smoked roll ups, and every roll up had dope in it, because I just, every time I come down, I couldn't have verbalised it back then. I can only look back and verbalise. Like when I came anyway to be normal, like when the first thing I wake up in the morning, say that, like the fright or the fear or the anxiety that was in the community, it was nearly like, I'm getting out of here. And then you look back up, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was that. And then the next cigarette would have some in it, or the next, you know what I mean? Everything that was, it was just a matter of staying, which caused his own problems, because I need money for that.
Yeah, of course.
So
you
now
do.
Me and Sharon was fighting because I was spending all the money.
I was going to say, how was life with you and Sharon and Patrice?
I just became this selfish man, Robbie. I stayed in a room on my own listening to music. I love music. And I didn't give Sharon the time of day. I didn't give Patrice. I wasn't beating anyone up. I wasn't anything. I was just locked away inside myself.
Yeah.
And then I locked myself in this room. It was like, Sharon would pay me money to go out for a drink with my family, my own family.
Right.
Because I just became this isolated figure that was listening to dead man's music, because I wasn't listening to anyone that was alive that was telling you how to live. I was listening to music of dead people, you know, and it was dread. It was dread, and that type of melancholic type of sound that is Irish, you know, that's particularly Irish.
Somebody once described as, you're in the basement digging holes.
Yeah, and that's where, and when I became a father, I remember hearing the girl, like, I knew I was loved by my mum and dad, not because they told me, they were from that area, but they showed me.
Yeah.
And I remember I was over in Sharon's auntie's, and she had a little girl. When Sharon was pregnant, she had a little girl that was about 7. And when she was going to bed and all, the mother kept saying, I love you. Mm. And I remember saying, I'm going to tell my kid every day. That, we didn't know it was a boy or a girl, but she was a girl. But I was going to tell my baby every day that she is loved by me. And in those years, I don't know what I ever did. I hope I did, but I don't know, because I was too caught up in myself. that's, you know, my own pain and my own shame. And I had pain, I had stuff where I was abused when I was younger. I had ways of looking at myself and looking at the world and being, I wouldn't have used the word then, but being fearful of people. Like, that's where it ended up with. And then because of the cannabis, I ended up with a huge state of paranoia. So everybody was, not everyone was out to get me. Now, when I seen a scrum on the rugby match, I thought they were talking about me, but that's not neither here nor there. No, but I was always afraid of getting caught doing something, like having drugs on me by the police and getting locked up. Right. That was my biggest fear that I had, you know. And so I just lived in that state, and that caused mayhem with me and Sharon. Like, we just lived together. We stopped functioning as a couple. Like, I don't even remember. I was only saying to Sharon the other night, I can't remember you making me dinner in those days. Did you feed me? You know, we were talking about my man, how well my man looked. Yeah. I said, did you feed me in those last couple of... She says, of course I fed you. But I've no real memory of those last... I just knew I was messing up all the time. I was messing up. I worked in a bookies, actually. So if I wasn't... then I'd try to win money to buy cannabis and... But it wasn't my money I was spending, it was Sharon's, you know.
Right.
And the mayhem that would brought. I remember sitting on her lap sobbing like a baby. I'll never do it again. And then going back tomorrow, tried to win me money back. And there was more money. And so that was a dodgy time in our lives.